And my guests today are Joan Walsh and Peggy Misch. They're both members of the Bill of Rights Defense Committee, and they're going to tell us a little bit. I want to start off by saying yesterday an ad, half-page ad, ran in the New York Times, and it starts out, "When in the course of human events the government becomes destructive of the ends for which it was established, it is the right of the people to alter it and demand restoration of those constitutional principles that have so long assured their liberty, safety, and happiness." And what follows is a declaration, as they say, for our times. Peggy and Joan are going to tell us a little bit about that today. Welcome.
Thank you.
Tell us how the Bill of Rights Defense Committee got started.
After the USA Patriot Act was passed in October 2001, this occurred. Congress, I believe, members were very concerned about the 9/11 attack. So this was an attempt, I believe, to make the citizens of the United States feel secure that they were going to be protected by certain provisions that would be made to protect them. And because many of the provisions in the USA Patriot Act, and this name, of course, was made to make people feel secure, many individuals felt that our rights and privileges from the Constitution and the Bill of Rights were being infringed upon. So people got together, and the first group that was formed to attempt to do something about this was formed in Northampton, Massachusetts. And this is now still the Center for the National Bill of Rights Defense Committee. And this group in the headquarters at the Bill of Rights Defense Committee has helped different communities draft resolutions in different communities to attempt to make residents, that would be persons, because the Constitution and the Bill of Rights refers to persons. So that means all residents, not just U.S. citizens, are protected by certain rights. These resolutions were passed in various communities throughout the country, and 8 states, in addition to 406 different communities, started passing resolutions to protect residents from infringements on their human rights, their civil rights, civil liberties. Carrboro, North Carolina, of the over 400 now communities, Carrboro was the 8th in the country, and this happened in 2002. So this is something that locally, now having this celebration now, the 4th of July celebration in Carrboro, and our being on this program sort of brings it home to Carrboro's role in trying to defend its residents from infringements of their rights.
Thank you. Joan, you want to tell us a little bit about Durham? And
Durham was a short step behind Carrboro in terms of getting our resolution passed. We had our first meeting of the Durham Bill of Rights Defense Committee in January of 2003. There was a great deal of enthusiasm among Durham activists for working against the abuses of the USA Patriot Act, of which there were many. One of which concerned us a great deal was, at that time, was the library, the infringement on people's right to take a book out of the library, any book they wanted, in private. The FBI and other government agencies were frequently coming to libraries and asking to see people's library records, and the librarians who were asked, under penalty of law, were disallowed from telling the person that their library records had been subpoenaed. This was one of the things that people were quite incensed about. Of late, things have gotten very much more intense in terms of the types of abuses that we are concerned about. We've worked on a number of things over the years. It took us most of the year 2003 to get our resolution passed, which was our first major effort. We had a large community forum in May of 2003 at the Hayti Community Center. We tabled at the Eno River. We tabled at Centerfest. We collected nearly 800 signatures. We had many meetings with city councilors and county commissioners, and we got our resolutions passed. There are two governmental bodies in Durham, Durham City and Durham County. The county resolution was passed in September of 2003, and the city resolution in October of 2003. One of the very interesting things about the city resolution is that that very same night, there was an immigrant rights resolution passed as well. By a separate group of activists, actually not so separate. Some of us were involved with both. But I think that, as Peggy mentioned, the Bill of Rights movement from its inception has been for everyone's rights, not just citizens' rights. And the fact that those two resolutions were passed the same night and there was a great deal of mutual celebration around that, it added to our movement's solidarity in terms of the protection of everyone's rights from government infringement. From there, we went on to work on voting rights issues. We were instrumental in helping get the North Carolina law passed that requires a paper trail, that requires open source code for voting machines, and that requires a mandatory percentage audit of the vote. That was our major effort in 2004 and early 2005. And then we became involved at the end of 2005 with the Stop Torture Now movement, which is focused specifically on the Aero Airport out in Johnston County. I understand that Christina Cowger of Stop Torture Now is going to be interviewed on this station as well, and she will give a lot more detail on all of that effort, because I don't want to take up too much time on that. But that's been one of our major efforts recently. We're also now more and more concerned specifically with immigrant rights, as is Peggy's group in Orange County.
What's the point of passing a local resolution? What does it do?
I mean, some of it is educational, because before these resolutions are passed, in many cases, petitions are signed, and collecting names of people within the jurisdiction where these are passed read the petition, and then the names are collected, and these are presented to the officials, the elected officials. So it's bringing attention to the people signing these petitions to let them know there's a problem, and then also taking it to elected officials where they can see that citizens are concerned about their rights being infringed upon.
How has it affected law enforcement in communities that have passed the resolution?
I think this is one of the things that we're doing now, both Joan with the Durham Bill of Rights Defense Committee and the Orange County Bill of Rights Defense Committee have a role now that I see is monitoring. So we're attempting to monitor what's happening within the community where different incidents happen that people's rights seem to be infringed upon. So this has happened in both communities where we think that there are law enforcement officers that are restricting people, arresting people when there is not the protection that they should have. So we are monitoring also what's going on in the community. So the two roles that I see that I think the Orange County Bill of Rights Defense Committee, as well as Durham, we're trying to monitor and also attempt to lobby and make changes when changes need to be made, and also network across the state to encourage people in other communities to work on issues, and if they're already working on issues that we're concerned about, to network with them and to work and make this something across that North Carolina can improve. And this is right now the major concern is this concern about immigrant rights.
Right. As I understand it, they have the act is primarily targeted immigrants and aliens, both legal and illegal.
The term, yes, I don't like to use the term, but it's undocumented.
Undocumented
people in the United States.
Undocumented
persons.
What about the assertion that we, in order to be safe, that we need to give up some of our rights or privileges? This has happened in so many wars. There seems always to be historically a point at which the government sort of comes in and tightens. But do we need to give up our civil liberties in order to be safe?
Absolutely not. In the first place, it does no good. It does a great deal of harm. A society of sheep that is too afraid to say the truth, to find out the truth, to stand up for the truth is about as unsafe as you can get. I think some of our founders had it correct when they said that any person who is willing to give up liberty for a little bit of temporary safety deserves neither. And if we're willing to give up our rights in order to be safe, we will have neither rights nor safety.
I think I could use an example. Perhaps just now in Chapel Hill, the Orange County Bill of Rights Defense Committee, along with NAACP and other groups, WILF, also went to the Chapel Hill Town Council and presented a resolution to establish a civilian review board because of this stemmed from different arrests that the Chapel Hill police on the beat had restricted protesters. So this is even concern about what individuals can do within a community, which would still be legal actions when they're stopped from doing those things. So I'm following up on what Joan was saying. We're concerned about people being able to speak out when there's something that they feel is wrong.
Give us an example.
Well, this was a case that the particular one where this came to a head, this resolution, the Chapel Hill Town Council has taken this under advisement and will come back in September, so we hope people would come out to hear this. But it stemmed from the fact that students and townspeople were protesting at Burger King to attempt to get Burger King to sign on to pay more, to encourage them to pay more per hour for the tomato pickers that Burger King was getting from contractors for their use at Burger King. And this was a peaceful protest, and police officers arrested one graduate student who was charged with failure to disperse on the street, which we think is an infringement on her right to stand there and when she wasn't doing anything illegal.
So where does that stand?
We're monitoring. Now? This resolution went to the town council. It is referred to the staff. The staff will come back with whether they would accept this resolution or not, or modify it. And this will come back in September, at the first Monday in September when they come back. The staff is supposed to come up with something. Some action is supposed to come.
Okay, so they have yet.
But this
to
is
my
yes. We have
it's,
yeah. That's right.
Haven't
September.
Proposed an action.
Yes, but I'm just saying that's current, and that's a citizen being arrested, and we're concerned even more so with immigrant rights when they don't even have that standing. So
are the abuses, or I should say, probably alleged abuses of the USA Patriot Act, has anybody been actually tracking them and, you know, sort of cataloging them so we know what's actually going on in communities?
We've tried. It's difficult sometimes for ordinary folks to get this kind of information. The National Bill of Rights Defense Committee has a wonderful and many faceted website that we would recommend that everyone read. It's www.bordc.org. And you can learn a tremendous amount on that website, both about what the government has been doing and about what activists have been doing to counter this. I would recommend that everyone spend some time on that website.
Now, let's take a minute and take a little break and talk about some events that are happening today. How are you all involved? Tell us about what's happening today, the 4th of July.
Well, we're talking here on the radio, and there will be a table that various groups have at the Carrboro 4th of July celebration, and the people will be coming to that on the lawn of the Carrboro Town Hall lawn from 11 to 3 o'clock. The other activities going on for people that want to have food or watching dance or listen to music in addition, but these informational booths. So we, the Bill of Rights Defense Committees of Durham and Orange County, will have a table where I will have a copy of the New York Times ad, which Tana just mentioned, and a petition on protecting immigrant rights. This is something that perhaps Joan can speak a little bit about. There's networking across the state to counteract a sheriff's resolution that has been passed in North Carolina, 287G. It's a resolution that is to remove undocumented individuals from North Carolina, and this whole attitude about people taking positions in jobs away from local residents. There's a huge backlash about this, and North Carolina had the concern about higher education that people who are undocumented should not be allowed to go to community colleges or the university, and there's a large backlash. So we will have a petition at the table addressing this and other things that people can pick up at our table, buttons and bumper stickers and other literature on some of the issues coming up. So maybe Joan can talk about the this horrendous 287G.
Yeah, tell us about that.
287G is an effort of the Department of Homeland Security and the Immigration and Customs Enforcement, otherwise known as ICE, agencies of the government. Basically, what it's trying to do is discover, round up, and deport everyone who is undocumented. And North Carolina has been described as a laboratory for this effort, this national effort. It has been shown that deportations have increased tremendously in the last year or two. Anyone who reads the papers can find out how much really xenophobic, hostile, anti-immigrant sentiment there is running rampant in many places in the country right now. Which we're horrified by and really can't quite comprehend. Some of us have been to places like Mexico and other Latin American countries and are very aware on a personal level of how people, anywhere, historically, geographically, who are threatened, who feel unsafe, who have no economic means to support their families, will migrate. Migration has been a human phenomenon throughout the history of humanity, and it will be a human phenomenon as long as we exist. And, you know, people who are trying to survive, people who are trying to come and find a way that they can live and help their families live, should be given concern and empathy and support and understanding, and not be raided and, you know, rooted from their homes and their jobs and their children subjected to trauma. What's been going on in the last couple of years in this country is horrible. And, you know, as many people have written, it will be another one of these tragic episodes in our history that we will look back on with shame, as we do the rounding up of the Japanese during World War II. Back to 287G, North Carolina, as I said, has been given a great deal of funding. Our not-so-beloved Senator Dole is one of the people who is trying to get more funding for this program. there are currently 7 counties and 1 city, I am ashamed to say, my own city of Durham, that have opted into this 287G program. The counties are, the first one was Mecklenburg, and then Alamance, Cabarrus, and Gaston, and then just recently we've added Cumberland and Henderson and Wake. So, you know, Wake is pretty close to home, too. So a lot of these counties are along interstate corridors, and that's not, you know, unplanned, I'm sure. And these are seen by those who have been studying this phenomenon as the hubs of sort of wheels within the state with outlying spokes, you know, of outreach, so that the goal of the Department of Homeland Security and ICE is to have the state covered, you know, since they view it as a state where both the political climate, unfortunately, and the fact that we have a rapidly increasing immigrant population make it a good laboratory for them to try their nefarious plot. So, you know, this is a huge thing that anyone who has time and energy to get involved in working against, it's a wonderful place to try to put your energies.
I think maybe we should point out the fact that many of these people are migrating here because of our trade laws.
Trade policies.
So this is not just something that's one issue thing. There are many things that connect to this. So people don't understand that some of the policies overall. And then the other thing, also when people say, well, why are these people here undocumented? The other problem also is that our whole immigration system is needing to be overhauled completely. People are unable to apply for visas or entry into the United States. It's cumbersome. There are quotas. It takes years. It's for some people to go through the whole process when they want to come into the United States legally. So there are all kinds of pressures that people don't understand. Many of these undocumented people in this country came in with their families perhaps when they were 1 or 2 years old. So to keep those people in the status of having no citizenship when they've been here all their lives and came in as infants seems to be just the loss of consideration of human rights.
Mm-hmm. Right. Politicians respond to an organized constituency. And it occurs to me that that is one of the points of your organizing locally and for these resolutions. What can people do to help this effort, to help stem abuses of civil rights?
One of the things that people can do is read the national website, www.bordc.org, find the activities and the organizations in their communities. Obviously, here in Orange County, Peggy's group in Durham County, my group, we have a number of other wonderful organizations that you brought in some information on, Tana. There's the ACLU. There's the Center for Constitutional Rights, which is a national organization as well. Mm-hmm. Electronic Frontier Foundation. There are a number of ways to get involved. The main thing is just to have the time and energy, not just to read about it and learn about it, but to actually reach out and contact other people who are involved with this, to go to meetings, to make plans, to take action. I mean, some of the things that we have been doing over the years include meeting with our elected representatives. We've had I don't know how many meetings with Congressman Price. We've had many meetings with our local officials. We've had some meetings with state-level representatives, particularly around the anti-torture effort. And, you know, it takes a lot of commitment to make time in our busy lives to do these kinds of things, but this is what we need to do. Democracy is not a spectator sport.
Yes, I think people can also write letters to the paper. That's very important. And many people have written good letters to the newspapers That besides lobbying is very important to take a small contingent of people to make appointments.
And Peggy, you said something earlier about communities in North Carolina that have retracted or rescinded the resolution?
No. I'm just saying that in some communities there were groups that formed of the eight resolutions that were passed in North Carolina. The people who got together to get their local officials to pass a resolution to protect the residents within that community, some of those groups have more or less disappeared. They're not continuing. So in North Carolina, I think Durham and Orange are the active ones within the state trying still to network, but there are individuals across the state, but as far as groups still acting, we're the only two that are visible, viable. And I need to mention also that if people go to www.bordc.org, they can click there and see North Carolina there, because when something happens in North Carolina that is related to the Bill of Rights, it's on the website. And the protest that we did at Aero Contractors against the rendition flights in Smithfield is still on the first page of this website. So it's right there with First in Flight, Not in Torture is still there because of the award that this organization got.
That's right. Speaking of that, the Bill of Rights Defense Committee has won several awards. Do you all know? I had a list of those. Do you know offhand the awards?
We received a local one we were in the Independent.
Here it is.
Recently,
2005 recipient of the Civil Liberties Award of the American Civil Liberties Union. That was the Worcester County chapter. Mm-hmm. The National Lawyers Guild Haywood Burns Memorial Fellowship for. That's something else again. But there was the State and Regional Intellectual Freedom Achievement Award that was given to the Bill of Rights Defense Committee, if I'm not mistaken.
We've gotten some local recognition too. In North Carolina.
One other thing that we do every year, each of us, is we get a proclamation of renewal of our resolutions from our governmental bodies. We in Durham get two of them, one from the city and one from the county. And I believe that you get maybe three?
Yes, the Bill of Rights Day, December 15th. Most people don't know that that's Bill of Rights Day, December 15th. And today, Mark Chilton will read a proclamation from the grandstand proclaiming this a day of recognition for Independence Day.
So just quickly, we need to wrap up, and I want to repeat the website, www.bordc.org. There also, the ad has been aired on YouTube, has it not? Or there's something
sure.
running on YouTube right now related
okay.
to this.
Hope so.
Call your senators. And if you need to find them, you can go to www.senate.gov. And how else?
Call Representative Congressman Price. It will probably have more effect than calling your senators, unfortunately, in North Carolina.
Yes, the Senate has a bill coming up on FISA, making the networking
that's right.
free. That's coming
this week.
Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But I don't
that's
know
right.
what good that will do for North Carolina senators.
Well, I want to thank you both for being here, and I certainly hope that we have some success. I know there have been a number of bills introduced in the Congress. Calling for the repeal of at least certain provisions, but we haven't seen much success on that front.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you.
This has been the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, the WILF Show, where there's a WILF, there's a way. And you're listening to WCOM-LP, Chapel Hill and Carrboro, your local volunteer-run station. Happy 4th.
From Pacifica, this is Democracy Now!
I am not included within the pale of this glorious anniversary. Your high independence only reveals the immeasurable distance between us. The blessings in which you this day rejoice are not enjoyed in common. The rich inheritance of justice, liberty, prosperity, and independence bequeathed by your fathers is shared by you, not by me. The sunlight that brought life and healing to you has brought stripes and death to me. This 4th of July is yours, not mine. You may rejoice, I must mourn.
Today we spend the hour with a celebration of Howard Zinn's People's History of the United States, with James Earl Jones, Alice Walker, Kurt Vonnegut, Danny Glover, and many others. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. July 4th is a national holiday that commemorates the American colonies declaring their independence from England.